Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is a little bump and grind on the Savage Nation. Why not? Just because it's Monday and you're bored and depressed? I'm not. Yes, I have a little bit of a cold. I know about starve a fever and feed a cold, and what I do is I feed a cold day and night, 7 days a week. Even when I'm not sick, I do it as a preventive maintenance item. Did you see this story yet on the Savage Nation? Have you heard about the attacker who went after the Gauguin painting in the National Gallery of Art? He's an $80 million painting. Now, I happen to be a fan, you know, great admirer of Gauguin. I have for years, having spent time in those islands. In particular, it has its double meaning for me, more than for you, because you've never been there. But this lunatic tries to tear a Gauguin painting off a wall at the National Gallery of Art. She's a 53-year-old convicted felon who, after her arrest, told an investigator that the French artist was evil and that his artwork has nudity and is bad for the children. Now, we do not know if she hails from Saudi Arabia, but suspect Susan Burns, who turned 53, also said that the Gauguin painting, Two Tahitian Women, which, by the way, is as benign and a beautiful painting as you've ever seen, which is valued at $80 million, she said, is very homosexual. I was trying to remove it. I think it should be burned. She then went on to say that I am from the American CIA, and I have a radio in my head. I am going to kill you, added Burns, who lives in Alexandria, Virginia. We can confirm on the Savage Nation that the attacker is not on the Pickle of Truth tour and that she is definitely not working on the Newt Gingrich election campaign. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. The big news story today, of course, is that Obama did a 180. Eric Holder almost broke into tears. He almost pulled a John Boehner when he found out, I can't try him in New York. Why can't I try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York? I wanted it. Really upset everyone. Why? I'm the attorney general. I want to try him in New York. I want to tie up traffic. Why? Why did that nasty Congress get in my way, said Eric Holder. Unbelievable. Astounding. Who's in charge? We have no idea. This is an entire administration on training wheels. They caused a revolution in the Middle East. Now they're arming the rebels in Libya, who are also being armed by Al-Qaeda. So I guess we're now fighting both against Al-Qaeda in certain parts of the world and with Al-Qaeda in Libya. Who's running America? Who is at the helm? Is there a head at the helm of this, or is there a toe at the head of America right now? I'd use another body part, but it's a family show. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Who's in charge? Robert Gates, the defense secretary, as you well know, was opposed to going into Libya. Obama is arming and training the rebels, in spite of the fact that Gates says we should not be there. At the same time, the silent, secret, behind-the-scenes, crazy Samantha Powers, who, by the way, is married, as far as I know, to one of the czars appointed by Obama, one of the communist czars. I think she's married to Cass Sunstein, of all people. This lunatic is now being considered for the position of Secretary of State. Who's running this country? Who is running this country? Don't call me because I'm not going to take your calls. If you care to talk about any other topic, including which songs on the rock and roll list that I have on the Savage Nation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I want to read you some of the songs I have on my song sheets that bring back a certain time in America that I loved, when the chrome was thick and the women voted Republican. I like Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas. I like Book of Love by the Monotones. I love Little Star by the Elegants. Play Little Star by the Elegants. I want to see that. That's on my song sheet number three. Little Star by the Elegants. Are you little star? And I'll give you a memory lane. I'll give you a memory lane as I listen.
Oh, right at time.
ninth grade, I had skipped the grade. I was small for my age. I was 2 years ahead of myself. Some of the kids in the junior high school had been in jail already and were released. So therefore, I was a small ninth grader, and there was some very large 12th graders who should have been in prison. And I was listening to this song. They were dating, and I was still playing with the airplanes at home. How's that for a memory? How's that for a Pickle of Truth tour? All right, let's stop for a minute. I'm going to really go out on a limb today. I'm in the mood to take a chance because, as I said to you, I finished my novel last week, but I've been working on it until an hour ago. Abuse of Power, guaranteed smash bestseller. The movie's going to knock you out. It's going to be so good, it's beyond belief. Won't be out till September. Don't ask me about it. So I feel as though it's graduation day, so I'm just going to have some fun. I'll do the news. I'll do the views. I'll do the reviews. But how much of this news can you take? We know Obama's a Marxist. We know that he's on training wheels. We know no matter what he does, no matter how that much damage he does, no one's going to stop him. We understand that we don't live in a democracy. We understand we live in a dictatorship that's punctuated by a democracy every 4 years, if you want to call buying the election a democracy. Let's see, the cost of a seat for a Senate seat is $100 million. The cost of the presidency is $1 billion. Anyone want to enter it in this great democracy of ours? Oh, yeah, in America, anyone can be president as long as you can raise $1 billion. That's all. And if you own the media, as the training wheel president does, it makes it easier. I mean, if you own the media, what more do you need? So here's a guy from a group called Politico, which I never heard of, in clip five, who says that President Obama is the greatest orator of modern times. Listen to this.
The bloom isn't entirely off the rose between Obama and the press, but reporters are starting to concentrate more than ever on what he says rather than how he says it. We will stipulate that he's the greatest orator of modern times. But
hey,
now
schmuck. Schmuckola. Schmuckola. Hey, Putz. Putz, there's a difference between rhetoric and substance, schmuck. Didn't you learn that in high school? I mean, the first book I read in high school literature was called Style and Substance. I guess you didn't get to that in your journalism school. You didn't learn that in journalism school? There are a lot of great orators, but they're full of you-know-what. They know how to sway the moronic public. I mean, if you got a public that go see a junkie disgrace himself on the stage, a man who is disgracing the word human being, and they'll go pay for it while they're stoned, then you can understand anyone can be president of the United States of America. I don't even want to get into this, truthfully. I told you I feel good. I'm not going to let it be ruined by you. Just because you're a listener who wants to see me crash and burn, I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to look at my song sheet now. We got a whole lot of shaking going on. No, too hectic. In the Still of the Night by the Five Statins. No, I'm not into the triglyceride problem right now. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis Presley. Eh, a little dated. Keep a Knockin' by Little Richard. A little dirty. Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. God, play Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. I want to hear Love is Strange, blah, 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 blah. Remember this stupid song? Love is strange. Love hitting that cowbell really worked. Take it for a game. And it was called that hillbilly background guitar is what did it for us boys in New York. It was so different than our lives. That whole thing of the hillbilly guitar, we loved it. God, we loved it. It was so, like, rhythmically sensitive to our needs. All right, knock it off. I know what they want. They want the red meat. They want the right-wing red meat. Just give them the red meat. Cut out the ad-lib, Mike. Cut out the music. We don't pay to hear you do the music. You can't have a good time, Mike. Do the news. Stick to the work. Kill yourself. Eat your heart out. Go to an early grave. Every day, dig a deeper, Mike. Go ahead. Go into the news. Talk about the communists in the White House. Eat your heart out over the fake Republicans. Go ahead, Mike. Eat your heart out. Don't listen to music. Don't enjoy yourself. They don't want to hear anything but stick to the hard work. All right, cut the garbage. No jokes. No entertainment. All right, cut it out. We're not interested in Come Softly to Me by the Fleetwoods. All right. How about Blueberry Hill? I play that too much. Now, here's one I liked. Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas, and I'll tell you why. The minute you listen to it, you'll know why I love this song, or at least I did when I was a kid. Let's hear Sorry I Ran All the Way Home. I ran all the way. way. Yeah, turn the show off and listen to the grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia. Go ahead. Go hear the histrionic yells and the screams. See if I care. Go listen to your grandmother screaming.
Obama, Obama! The Republicans are good, Obama! Obama, no good!
Okay, turn it off already. I know why I like this song, but I don't want to tell you. It's too personal. I'll save it for the Pickle of Truth tour that I'll do one day. The Pickle of Truth tour. That's very funny. So I think Drudge doesn't like my show because he changed all his headlines just now. He's trying to get me focused. I think he just changed the headlines to get me off the jokes. I think he wants me to read about it. A bloody pig's foot sent to Congressman King. Bloody pig's foot sent to Congressman King? Wait a minute. He ran a hearing about the dangers of radical Islam in America. Somebody sent him a pig's foot? Don't quite get it. I don't quite understand. Maybe a gefilte fish. I don't understand. Why send him a pig's foot? He's like, he likes pig? I don't get that. What's the meaning? See, the FBI should investigate who sent the pig's foot. To me, that's a hate crime. Why Hillary Clinton must run in 12? Yeah, she should run out of America and go live in England where she belongs. Trump says I would spend a lot to get to the White House. Oh, you know who's attacking Trump? None other than the failure, the radio failure. What's his name? The guy with the fake eyeglasses and the blackboards. He's attacking Trump because Trump's on my show, and he knows that. I can't believe the things that he would say, that loser. What's his name? Glenn Schmeck. How could Glenn Schmeck attack Trump saying he's crazy for talking? He's Mr. Stable? Glenn Beck is Mr. Normal? Suddenly him and Bill O'Reilly are playing Mr. and Mrs. Moderate. You know what I'm saying? It's unbelievable to me. Look at the game they're playing with you, the idiots out there. You actually believe a word that O'Reilly says? You believe a word Beck says? I don't. You know what I'm saying? I don't. It's one of the worst minstrel acts I've ever seen. They're suddenly middle of the road, okay? They're Mr. Obama's good friend. Unbelievable to me. I have more faith in Wallbanger than I do in Leprechaun. At least with Wallbanger, the guy's straight up and with what you get, okay? O'Reilly is as Leprechaun-ish as they get. And the other guy with the blackboards, this guy is an embarrassment to the word broadcaster. What do you want to talk about? Food, prostate pills, what's better than Levitra? Your favorite rock and roll song, Timothy Geithner? Or why I say Timothy Geithner right after your favorite pills for impotence, I don't know. Doesn't Geithner look impotent to you? Yeah, you look at this guy's eyes, you know that there's something wrong there. We had friends like him in Queens. He has a house in Queens that I heard they took away from him. They were going to take him. How could this guy be running the biggest economy on Earth with the shifty eyes that he has? You know who he actually looks like in certain shots? He looks like that comedian who doesn't write his own scripts, who was that guy who had a big meeting in Washington, D.C. that no one came to? Yeah, he looks like that guy, right. Yeah, that guy, John whatever. I don't know his last name, nor do I want to know it. The guy who reads other people's writings. It's a certain type of guy from Queens that we all knew. We ridiculed us. We pushed him around. Timothy Geithner was the kind of guy who got pushed around a lot, so he got even by running the economy, and then he bankrupted everybody. I'll be right back. Like a slave all day. Have they banned this song yet in America? It has some inappropriate language that may make certain people uncomfortable. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Rock and Roll Monday. What news out there? It gets worse by the day. You try to take a weekend off. You don't know what to do. He does it all Friday night. Everyone's on vacation. He does another executive order, another bypass. Every day cuts another branch off the tree of liberty. That's all. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So here we are. It's a nice day out here on the West Coast. I know you're not supposed to do weather, but I do it because a lot of the bad weather we get, you get 2 days later on the East Coast, and you get hit with the storm after we don't have it. Now we got spring. You'll have it in 2 days, and the birds will come back. You'll say, I told you so, that I'm a genius. You must have a radio in your tooth that predicted it. How did you know? You heard it from somebody. You don't know who. Radio's a strange business. I got to tell you why. Half the things that people call to tell you they heard on your show the day before, And they think they thought it up. That's the beautiful part. Radio is such a suggestive medium that some of the things I say on Monday wind up guys calling me like as an insight for them on Tuesday. And the slow ones call on Thursday with the same insight that you put out on Monday, which is very interesting. I think I broke a world record in my monologue today. I insulted Hillary, Glenn Schmeck, Timothy Geithner, Sean Hannity, Grandma, John Stewart, Bill O'Reilly, Obama, and Charlie Sheen. So that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 figures in one opening. I'm going to see how many I can insult in one opening each day today. Don't they deserve it? I mean, someone's got to say something to the... look at the geographical landscape of the world we live in. Take a look at these people that we listen to. Can you believe the reason the country's in such trouble? Instead of listening to the head of the Secretary of Defense who said, don't go into Libya. We don't know who the rebels are. Don't arm them. They're no good. Don't use the airplanes. It's going to be another Viet. Instead of listening to him, you listen to these idiots who say, yeah, bomb, baby, bomb. Come on. Look what the Republicans are doing. Newt Gingrich is going to save the world. You hear? The GOPAC tick is back. The GOPAC tick is going to save the Republican Party. He'll pull about 8% of the electorate. You want to have Obama reelected? Just pick Newt Gingrich. That's all. The favorite of Fox News. What do they see in this man? What do they see in the man? All right. So Sheldon Adelson gives him a lot of money. The gambling in the Macau casino with the hookers. I mean, so what? Some of the money washes back. So what? What does it matter? That's not a sin today anymore. 200 hookers in a Macau hotel. That he's being indicted for, that is the patron, Adelson. And I happen to look up to Adelson. He did a lot of good, built a lot of gambling casinos. To me, it's good. But they're already blaming him that he flew on Adelson's plane. So what? He's not running. He wasn't running for office yet. What are they attacking already? Why don't you attack Obama for the communist he is and for the fact that he's destroyed our Constitution, you vermin in the media? You people, you know, what's the difference? You don't know anything. If you did, you wouldn't be a journalist. You'd be a talk show host.
Savage.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well.
It is the Savage Nation. Crazy world. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Degenerates, more popular than ever. Communists getting away with being communists. People don't know anything. They're like idiots. You see mothers feeding their children poison food. Here, honey, have a nice cocoa and a jelly donut for breakfast. And they're allegedly good looking. I see the women. You know, middle class, nice looking blondie dummies. They themselves were raised by dummy mothers, hippie mothers. And I don't know what to say. I can't say anything because they can arrest you for even saying anything. I feel like saying, lady, you're poisoning your child. Stop feeding him cookies for breakfast. They're sending him to school. He gets the shakes. Put him on a pill. So it's hopeless. The whole thing is hopeless. I thank God that I don't have to start and raise children now. I don't know what I would do. Fight with the teachers every day. All right, let's take some callers. Cut out the, let's get down to work, Mike. I know. All right, get back to work, Mike. No reminiscing. Get back to the economy. Get back to Libya. Stick to the basics. It's a talk show, Mike. No variety. Don't vary. Don't go off topic. Now, Mike, stick to what you know best. That's it. Libya, war, communism, that's all. Taxes, Republicans good, Democrats bad. Got to stick to the basic theme that the other schmucks do. Don't get sidetracked, Mike. Let's go to Johnny in Biloxi, Mississippi. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Savage, great to talk to you. Hey, instead of talking about all that crap, how about some stories about when you used to work with your dad?
All right, that's interesting. I'm a New York kid originally. You're from Biloxi, Mississippi. Totally different cultures. And yet here you resonate with the stories of my dad. Tell me which one comes to mind. Like if you were to say, pick one out of a hat that you remember.
I remember something about down in the basement.
You mean cleaning the bronzes with the cyanide solution?
Yeah.
I don't know of another kid who was subjected to that kind of Charles Dickens-like childhood. Do you?
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and, you know.
Johnny, let me ask you, when you were a kid, did you work with your dad?
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, my dad disappeared when I was real small and I had a stepfather.
So you kind of missed the story of a father and son. Is that really it? I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Is that why you asked?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So, Johnny, when you listen to my show, what is it that you want to hear? What? More of those stories in your own mind? Because what? It reminds you of a thing you missed in your life? Is that it?
Well, you know, it's part of, part of hearing your childhood. Yeah, it does, bring out something that interests me. But really, I listen to your show because, of the intelligence and the intellect that you have about the whole situation in our country.
I understand I have a good insight to things. I always have. I've been blessed with the ability to see things as they are without a lot of clouds around them. But I do think that at this stage of the day and of the month and of the year, most people have heard most of it at this time of the day. So I'm reluctant to just do hardcore, news at this point, Johnny.
Yeah, well, we all get sick and tired. A lot of us get sick and tired of hearing it, and we'd like to be refreshed with just some...
I understand. It's very hard to come up with new stories unless they're real, so I appreciate that. I mean, I don't want to do an old story about the one-breasted, man and the delivery to his house in Long Beach in the Godfather house and how shocked I was to see a man with one breast and a half a mustache from Ringling Brothers who bought odd objects as a kid delivering the goods to that house was strange, crazy, made me part of the man I am to see that there are a variety of individuals. So please don't lecture me about diversity. I love when they lecture me on diversity. Like, I need to listen to them tell me about diversity. I just love it. All of the schmucks who grew up in these hothouse environments, straight out white bread environments, went to Yale. They're lecturing me on diversity, all of these communists in the government. Okay? Don't tell me about diversity. Did you ever deliver a bronze to a man with one breast when you were 9? I guarantee you didn't. Half the people in the Obama administration, they probably have them arrested. They're telling me how to relate to it. I didn't relate to him in any strange way. So he wore something to cover the breast. I didn't look at the breast. I knew it was there because we had seen him in Ringling Brothers. And then it's interesting when you see a man at his work and then you see him in a personal setting. It doesn't matter whether they're a lawyer, like off-duty the lawyer, or judge, let's say, without the cloak. Could you imagine a judge, like, without a black robe, without a gavel, sitting and having a beer in a tavern somewhere in your neighborhood? No, you can't. But imagine all right, put it another way. Can you imagine... We all did this as a kid, and there's nothing wrong with it. I bet that 99% of the men listening to this show had some fantasy about their teachers with regard to lovemaking, right? I'm sure of it. Most guys do because they're crazy. Young men at a certain age are just all crazy. They shouldn't even be in school. They should be in the Iraq military crossing a minefield going on to Iran. That's all they're fit for. But instead, you got to learn geometry. So in the midst of sitting there half out of your mind, what you do is you fantasize all day long, and most guys fantasize about only one thing, which is, you know what, that's all. They don't fantasize about the energy problems or about Libya. Most people don't think about it. Even at this minute, the world could be coming to an end. All the guys walking down the street, wherever they are, they're thinking about one thing only. One thing, there's only one thing on their mind, and it's not dinner. So there's nothing you could do about it. It's human nature. And the demagogues take advantage of it. They know your nature, so they keep throwing salaciousness at you. And they elect dummies, one after the other, one demagogue after another. So what do you want to talk about? What is this? Dominate page poised to take big steps at Google. I don't know who he is. I don't like Google. I don't like anything about them. They're a little fascist, the two of them. I don't like the whole story. They should be broken up as a monopoly between me and you. If we had a legitimate government. But they bought the government. The Google company owns the government. Are you kidding me? They're afraid of them. If we had a legitimate government with an antitrust department, instead of Eric Holder trying to hold trials for the mastermind of 9/11 in Manhattan, what he'd do, he'd have antitrust hearings about Google and break them up like they broke up Standard Oil. I mean, they're bigger than Standard Oil was at its peak. Do you know that? That's right. I'm demanding antitrust hearings on Google. Good luck, Michael. Yeah, we really have a democracy. That's all. David in New York, WO. See, I worked in the politics. See, now... This is a master at work, what you're hearing now, is that you do a little of this, you do a little of that, and you work in the politics, you throw a bombshell like that out. Nobody hears it because they didn't hear it this morning from the golfer. They don't know what you just said. It went around and through. It was like Jell-O at a picnic. Nobody even knows they ate it. You know what I'm saying? But tomorrow they'll understand what I just said. Yes, I'll repeat it. Who disagrees with me, by the way? I'd like to hear an intelligent response to what I just said. Given that we have an antitrust division of the U.S. Justice Department, let's start with the basic facts. And given that the purpose of the antitrust division of the U.S. Justice Department is to prevent monopolies from occurring, because monopolies are antithetical to competition, and competition is the key to a capitalist system that is functional. What you do is you investigate companies that are overly large, and you break them up where you find out that they've conducted a monopolistic type of practice. That is what an antitrust division does, okay? Well, tell me why Eric Holder will not investigate Google for antitrust problems. And the answer is because Google has bought and sold every politician in the country, in my opinion. I don't know the guys. I don't know them personally. I know they have a 767 that is hangared at a NASA Ames Air Base in San Jose, which is totally illegal. I know that. I know the government should have busted them for that a long time ago. How can you hangar a private jet at a government facility and not go to jail? Answer: you buy the government, or you buy the government officials who are supposed to investigate you, and you fly them to the mayor's wedding on the 767, and you buy them a bottle of champagne with chocolates. That's how. Come on. You know, they say God sees the truth but waits. I'll tell you something else. I see the truth and I don't wait. That's all there is to it. That's my opinion. I can see things as they are. I'm not clouded. I understand what a monopoly is. Google is a monopoly. It should be investigated. And if it's found out that they are a monopoly and they've engaged in antitrust practices that inhibited competition, okay, with things that they do with top loading and back loading and ads that they won't provide to certain websites and how they rank certain websites, clearly a monopoly. Okay, good luck. Good luck. Yeah, we got someone who disagrees, and I'm glad to take a disagreement. Daniel in Kansas City, tell me why you disagree with me on Google being investigated.
Hey, Mike, I enjoy the show. My thought is that the only way you can actually have a monopoly is if it's propped up by the government in and of itself.
Whoa. Totally wrong. There are businesses that engage in monopolistic practices. Of course the government is a monopoly. We understand that. But there are businesses which engage in monopolistic practices, which a government is supposed to govern and control.
Well, yes, I understand that, but what I mean is...
Let me give you an example from history. John D. Rockefeller was a genius at organization and had a vision that oil would become more important than anyone thought it would be. So, you know, he started the Standard Oil Company of Pennsylvania, right? But as the demand for oil increased, he kept buying up one operator after another, so he had Standard Oil around the country. It became such a monopoly, there was no chance for competition. Consequently, he was able to fix prices. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but it depends on how much you limit the market. There's other areas for energy to be produced.
So what I'm hearing from you is textbook don't interfere in business by the government. Is that what you're saying? The government has no right to interfere in business ever?
I wouldn't say ever, but yeah, that's...
All right, so you're an absolutist. You listen too much to Rush Limbaugh. You don't really understand the situation at all. There are monopolies, and monopolies need to be controlled. In my opinion, Google is a monopoly. There are others, by the way. They're not the only ones, but they're the largest monopoly, and they should be controlled. There's no competition. Google has no competition. Can you name a search engine that's a competitor to Google?
Yeah, Yahoo. Bing.
Yeah, okay. And do you use Yahoo, or do you do a Yahoo search or a Google search?
Well, I use Google, but I think it's the best search engine.
It is a fabulous search engine, but it's still a monopoly, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I used to use Yahoo, but then I just don't think they competed.
All right. How do you feel about the Google boys, putting their 767 at the NASA Ames Air Base, And calling it a research plane because they look at the weather while they're flying around? How do you like that one?
No, that's absolutely where I agree with you. I think that I'm not saying...
All right, let's see anybody go after Google for anything. How's that? The day they go after those guys on any level, I'll say that I'll raise the American flag. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. I'm feeling good. You have to forgive me. My energy's back. I'm still a little under the weather. Got a cold, just in case you want to know. It's a personal show. Been on the air 17 years last 2 weeks ago. I'm still kicking, still going strong. Some days are better than others. Some days I'm up. Some days I'm down. Some days I'm high. Some days I'm low. Very rarely am I in the middle. Very rarely am I a flat line. I have the ups and the downs. In other words, I'm a human being. I'm a Mediterranean man. The sine curve of life I wrote about when I was 18 and didn't know what it was all about, because the lunatics called psychiatrists want to put you on a flat line with medication. Oops, you're too up, come down. Oops, you're too down, come up. Ooh, be a flat line like me, get a tie and a shirt, go to work for AT&T, or better yet, work for Macy's, better yet, work in a stall for Google, better yet, cut your hair, put on your tie, brush your teeth, stay in the middle, don't go up, don't go down, be afraid of your thoughts, be afraid of yourself, we'll think for you. Washington, D.C., Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. It's an honor to speak with you.
It's not an honor. I do it for a living, but thank you very much. I appreciate the sentiment. What's on your mind?
Michael, in your opening monologue, when you talked about Hillary and you insulted Hillary and Geithner and Glenn Schmeck, you know, the only one of those people that is honest about who he is Charlie Sheen.
You mean, does he know he's a psycho junkie from hell?
Exactly, and he's honest about it. He's a crackhead. He admits it. He's a fornicator who pays for sex. He admits it.
And he oh, yeah, I love the line. No, they said to him, if you're so rich and famous, how come you buy hookers? He said, I got extra millions of dollars to spend. I thought that was an amazing answer.
I know. Well,
I got to tell you this. I looked at the dogs he's with. They're really bottom of the heap. They're really bottom of the heap white trash with tattoos. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he's buying it, and that's all he can get?
If I had the millions that he did, I think those are probably the websites I'd go to for attention as well.
I don't know, but the point is, the guy has, you could see the inner man is pretty lost, if that's the best he can, I mean, that's what he wants? The skanks with tattoos that are like grade C? They're like grade C skanks with tattoos, and that he pays for?
Oh, believe me, I mean, it's not something I would choose to do, but...
Well, I didn't ask you. I mean, I'm not interested in your personal business. Thanks for the call. He's telling me already his life story. I don't know the guy. He's already telling me he wouldn't buy a hooker. I didn't ask him that. I didn't ask for what he would do with money if he had it. Play If I Were a Rich Man now, just for the heck of it. I'll do another little spritz in a minute, then we'll take a break. You got If I Were a Rich Man? Maybe it's not in the song sheet. That's like that's a little off the beat. It's illegal in America to play this because the Muslims get offended.
If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a bitty, bitty rich, idle man.
Yeah, if you worked for the government, you could sing the same song, by the way. You wouldn't have to be a rich man. You wouldn't have to work. Just go to work for the Obama administration. Every day is a vacation. What you do is count your pension and sue anybody who says something else. Turn it off. They can't hit two things at once. That's all. What do you want from me? Don't think I don't have my problems. I have plenty of problems, but you got to overcome them every day. Every day you got to stand up to your own weaknesses. Do you know that? My mother, may she rest in peace, would say to me, I don't even take an aspirin. I'd say, I got a headache. She said, what do you think? I don't have a pain? So what? She says, ignore it. Today, if a kid says, the mother says to him in the morning, how do you feel? What hurts? Which part of your body hurts? The head? The tail? The foot? The arm? You got a little pain here? They're like Munchausen by proxy parents now. They ask the child where the pain is. Even if the kid doesn't have anything wrong with him, he says, I don't know. The other night I felt something. Oh, call a specialist. It's just for free anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's for free anyway. Someone else is paying for it. Then they go to a crackpot. No, let me look. Do a C-SPAN. Do a C-scan. Do a C-section. Do a D-section. Do an E-section. Whatever costs more, do it. So we don't get sued by my brother-in-law, who's the lawyer, who threatens to sue so I can justify the investigative reporting that I'm doing on the man, the kid's body. It costs $29,000 to find out that the kid had nothing wrong with him. But put him on Prozac anyway, just in case, as a preventive. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm just a lonely boy, lonely and blue. I'm all alone with nothing to do.
All right, 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to face military tribunal at Guantanamo Bay. Not going to be given a civil trial. The ACLU is screaming. Now they won't get a chance to release him so he can go to work for the administration. No, the schmucks at the ACLU wanted to make certain that they could insult the American judicial system by giving him a nice, fair trial at He would prove that he was not only not guilty of perpetrating 9/11, but he was the actual victim of it because of anti-Muslim sentiment in people's heads. What else is in the news? Rape trial underway for NYPD officers. This one is a horrible story. Long Island man charged with sexually abusing a dog. I normally wouldn't read this story, but I'm a dog, you know, aficionado. This is a crazy story. Prosecutors in Long Island charged a man breaking into his tenant's apartment and sexually abusing a two-year-old dog. Mitchell Marsicano of Long Beach. Sorry, folks. Mitchell Marsicano. Everyone listens for the last name to see if it's one of theirs. Was arraigned Friday on burglary and sexual misconduct charges. Nassau County prosecutor said Marsicano illegally entered an apartment in the house he owned and sexually assaulted the dog, a 23-pound Japanese breed named Snowball. They said the tenants called authorities after witnessing the latest assault on Thursday. There's no words for this. There is no words for this. People are writing stupid comments like maybe the dog let him on. I mean, come on, this is not funny. This is abuse. Unbelievable to me. I can make, you know, okay, forget this. What would be the right punishment for this? Let's forget it. Let's move on, okay? I'm not going to raise this. Maybe Eric Holder has the correct trial. Maybe he could be tried at a military tribunal where only dogs are the judges. Did you hear the story? I sometimes tell this to people because I think it's an interesting one. As a pet lover, okay? In the positive sense, not in the sicko sense. I'm a pet lover in the positive sense. I forget who said it, but that heaven, in the next world, let's put it to you that way. In the next world, all of the pets we've had in our life become our masters and we become their pets. And how we treated them in this world is how they treat us in that world. I like that. I like that because I'm going to be like Teddy. I'm going to roll on my back at night. He's going to rub my chest. He'll take me for a lot of walks. He's going to overfeed me. He's never going to hit me. He's never going to yell at me. He's never going to discipline me in any way. What a life it's going to be. Man, Teddy, could you imagine if that turns out to be true? Now, there is a dog I don't want to be because him and I didn't get along. He bit my foot, but I get to bite him. Okay.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I don't want to hold myself out as, you know, omniscient or anything like that. The reality is, though, I know this case in a way that members of Congress do not. I have looked at the files. I've spoken to the prosecutors. I know the tactical concerns that have to go into this decision. So do I know better than them? Yes.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels. All right. Okay, there's a little politics for you. That's our secretary. That's our... Justice Department head, Eric Holder, the man who released the Puerto Rican terrorists, the man who gave amnesty to the guy, I forget his name. Unbelievable. Almost in tears because he lost the ability to wreck the judicial system by holding hearings in a civil court for people who should have been executed 10 years ago. That's the world I'm living in. 9 years ago, make you happier? Eric Holder, press conference. Unhappy that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-conspirators will be tried in a military tribunal. And so, therefore, he's very unhappy that he didn't have the full authority to grant them amnesty, along with the vermin from the ACLU. Listen to clip 12 now. Go ahead.
Let me be clear, and let me be very clear. Our national security demands that we continue to prosecute terrorists in federal courts, and will do so.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Our national security demands we continue to prosecute terrorists in federal courts. Hitler Hitler sent his men over here in submarines in World War II, and FDR, who was as good a liberal as anyone you ever met, gave them a military trial, by the way. You can check the case out, Eric, since you're such a great lawyer. I think if I remember correctly, it was the Quirin case, by the way, Quirin et al. You want to look it up. Maybe you missed that during your legal training, wherever you went, which associate arts degree you got in law. The Quirin case will show clearly that they were tried in a military trial, the Nazis were, and they were executed. I think two of them were released, but they were executed. They were not tried in a federal court, sir. And they always give you the same reason, the liberals. We have to, our heritage, values, and legacy. Hey, let me tell you, our heritage, values, and legacy demands that we execute terrorists, not that we give them a gold-plated trial, Eric. Our real heritage is killing terrorists within 30 days of capture, not a show trial for your liberal psychos out there. And I want to remind you of something else, Mr. Holder. The United States Navy was created to kill pirates, not to bring them to New York and have a stupid, clownish trial in Manhattan where the ACLU can make them look like heroes instead of villains. And I'll tell you something else. If we went back to 30 days and then executed, there'd be no more piracy on the high seas. And I'll tell you a little something else, Mr. Holder. If you unleashed our F-18 Hornets on the town where the pirates come from in Somalia, there'd be no piracy either, Mr. Holder. Stop with the trials already for terrorists. You've turned this nation into a laughingstock. Mr. Holder, look what we have now. Where up is down, down is up, left is right, right is left, north is south, south is north, east is west is east. Okay? The whole world is upside down because of what we have in the White House. Big ears. Big ears is in the White House. And take a look at what we made the Attorney General. You know, no wonder we have a thing like this. No wonder this is going on. No wonder a pig's foot is sent to Senator Representative King. Bloody pig's foot sent to Rep. Peter King. Crazy. Just came out. Listen to this. There's more to the story than meets the eye. A source in Capitol Hill told NBC News just now that the note contained anti-Semitic ramblings and referenced the radicalization hearings by Peter King. King is Roman Catholic, by the way, not Jewish. See, now they should find the person who sent that and punish them to the full extent of the law, which is probably a wrist slap. New York, WOR, David, go ahead. What's your topic?
Yes, Michael, the funniest story about your dad. When you used to come home with, say, oh, I got a B on the history test. And he said, well, why didn't you get an A? And then you say,
right.
Well, next time you come back and you say, I got an A. And he said, well, why didn't you get 100?
That's right.
And then you get the 100 and he says, well, how many other kids in the class got the 100? It had to be too easy.
Or he'd ask why you didn't get 100 in everything. If you come up with a 98, he'd say, how come you only got a 98? Why didn't get 100?
The test had to be fixed.
Oh, yeah, made me a very, very happy person. As you could see, it turned me into an extremely happy, easy-go-lucky guy.
That's true. And you need a little lightening up after. I mean, look what's going on in the world. It's awful, you know?
Oh, well, take a look at Obama. I guarantee you he didn't get A's. I guarantee you that's where they're hiding his records going back to Punahou High School. Why would they not show you his records going back to Punahou High School? What are they hiding him for? We knew that Bush mangled certain sentences and still got a degree.
Michael,
I'm asking you, what are they hiding that they won't release Obama's? Let's forget the birth certificate thing for a minute. Why are they not releasing his school grades? Tell me what they're hiding.
Hiding everything. Everything that he's tiptoed around and walked across and got a free pass on. Everything in his whole life. Let me tell you,
this whole thing about his birth certificate is very interesting. That Glenn Schmeck would be attacking Donald Trump because of the birth certificate issue is so pathetic, it's beyond belief. But let's put Glenn Schmeck aside. You don't expect much from a putz like him to begin with. The bigger issue is this. Who was it in America who, before he was elected, said that Barack Hussein Obama could not even pass a security clearance and become an FBI agent because of his associations? I said that. Before he was elected, I said the man could not even qualify to become an FBI agent. Are you aware of that?
It's unbelievable.
No, but I'm the only one who said that. It's still true. It didn't change. In fact, I believe more so he shouldn't have been made president because he couldn't pass a security clearance. He's proven himself to be unreliable as an American, in my opinion. What, that's the big secret? You can't say it? I don't know one thing the man has done that really qualifies as really American. Everything he's done is sort of international for another country, whether it's apologizing or outright destructive. Thanks for the call. Holder flip-flops and blames Congress. They should give him a shave, by the way, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, before he has a trial. They should force him to get a little Barbasol, him and Eric Benaki. They should go to the same Plaza Barber. I never trusted Barbasol, man. I knew he was a fraud. He was any guy who plays, either they're very angelic. I never trust angelic men, and I don't like demonic men. And to me, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is demonic. Out and out, you can look at his eyes and you could see Hitler and a death merchant. With the other guy, Bernanke, he's in love with himself and always plays the nice guy who's a good, never do bad, always do good. How about the Ivory Coast where thousands are being killed, hatcheted to death? It's like a Tutu Maquette thing with the wrong, different country. How come we're not sending in airplanes to the Ivory Coast? As civil war rages over Ivory Coast presidency, critics complain about Obama's focus on the Middle East. Answer, there's no oil in the Ivory Coast. There's only ivory. And the country doesn't run on ivory, okay? We don't put ivory in our gas tanks. As civil war grips the West African nation of Ivory Coast, what is this with Africa? Every day we have to worry now about Africa and send troops and airplanes. Where's it written, I have to defend Africa? It's terrible, the situation. It's a nightmare. What the hell is the UN for with the trillions of dollars that those bums rob? Let them send the UN force in there and leave me alone. 1,000 found dead over the weekend. You hear this? Over the weekend, right away, the experts in the media will start knowing how to pronounce Bagagbo. Yesterday, they couldn't pronounce it. And nothing matches G-B-A-G-B-O. Suddenly, they have to go to like a thesaurus on foreign capitals. UN resolutions denouncing Bugaboo. Bugaboo. Obama even taped a video message that was posted on the White House website, but does nothing. How are you going to solve tribal warfare like this, particularly in the Ivory Coast? In the wake of Libya, some have asked why the international community is not helping in Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. There are 11,000 UN peacekeepers on the ground right now, so they say, oh, but we are helping. Oh, really? It's 11,000 UN peacekeepers and 1,000 got slaughtered over the weekend. Just shows you the utility of the UN. The UN mission has been there for 8 years and has helped keep things from falling apart in an incredibly fragile moment. Oh, so that's why there's 1,000 dead over the weekend? So the 11,000 UN peacekeepers, what were they doing while the 1,000 were being macheted to death? Tell me what they were doing over there. You want me to give you an imaginary... Anyway, look, I'm exhausted already. I had a better hour the first hour because I was more mirthful, more lyrical. Now I'm exhausted already from the news. I got dragged into the news. I don't want to do the news. It's not required that I do it for a living. What can I do about the Ivory Coast? I don't collect ivory. I don't like ivory. I don't like people who hunt elephants. I think they should be shot. That's why, remember, last week I got attacked because I attacked the NRA, and now don't know NRA callers. I'm going to tell you right now, Wayne LaPierre has destroyed the NRA. Wayne LaPierre is to the NRA, in my opinion, as Bob Dole was to the Republican Party. Wayne LaPierre is just a lobbyist who has hijacked the NRA. It's not my NRA, okay? I gave them a large donation several years ago. Let me start with my personal vendetta. And they sent me a form letter. That's number one. I got very angry at them. Then I was speaking with someone I know who said to me, I told him I liked the guns and this and that. He says to me, you want to hear about the greatest guns I've ever seen? Yes. He said, I went to Charlton Heston's house while he was still alive. And he had a pair of dueling pistols that were given to him by the NRA for his great work. And the dueling pistols were allegedly owned by Thomas Jefferson. I said, wow, that must have been amazing. So I told him my NRA problem, my problem with the NRA to begin with. And he said to me, in his opinion, Wayne LaPierre and his gang have basically turned the whole NRA into a private fiefdom. That was his opinion. I said, wow, I guess I'm not the only one who understands what's going on here. And then I wake up and they have the nerve to send out a fundraising letter where they're celebrating trophy hunts, and they show elephants being hunted in the age of Teddy Roosevelt. I said, that's the end of the road for me in the NRA. They're not my NRA any more than the Republican Party is my Republican Party. It doesn't mean there aren't a few good Republicans. There's some great Republicans, but I don't vote Republican. I'm an independent. I have been for many years. It's the same with the NRA. They'll never see another nickel out of me, ever, and don't give them any money. They're not doing it for you. They're doing it for themselves. I've seen it over and over again. You know, there are other charities I've looked into. You know, I'm an animal lover and this and that. I try to help them. But every time I send a note out to them, I say, could you please send me a disclosure of how much money the executives earn? I'm shocked. $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 a year for these nonprofits. And many of them pose as, you know, just simple little organizations. It's unbelievable to me. You don't know which way to turn in this world. I did see a show the other day on Nat Geo, I think, with a woman who has an elephant sanctuary in Tennessee that's 1,700 acres, and she rescues zoo elephants and circus elephants. It's a very beautiful organization. I don't think that they're making a lot of money on it. They don't look like they're big living people. I'm going to actually investigate now any of these things. I want to go see the people. You know what I mean? If there's a Rolls in the, if I see a Rolls Royce and a Gulfstream in the garage, I'll say, okay. And they're not supposed to get rich if they're a charity. It's like public servants. We used to hear they're a public servant, all the government. They're not public servants, federal, state, and city workers. They're grifters. Most of them do very, very little, if anything at all. They collect pensions that nobody can afford. We have underfunded pensions by several trillion dollars. The party's coming to an end. The party's coming to an end. They're not going to get it. It's like radioactivity, man. A pension today is like radioactivity, a public pension. Speaking about radioactivity, what's with the Japanese? Will they become lunatics? They're pouring radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. Nuke plant operator starts dumping millions of gallons of contaminated water into the ocean, and they don't stop this, these people? That's the UN at work. The nuke plant operator is dumping millions of gallons of contaminated seawater into the Pacific Ocean. You're telling me it's not going to affect the entire seafood chain? Then you don't know the first thing about it, Jack. They should be stopped immediately. No, but they're not doing it. What are they doing? What, they got smeared off by the Japanese plant operator? They gave them a free ride and a visit to Japanese Disneyland? I'll be right back.
Savage.
I wasn't always the best student when I was younger. I made my share of mistakes. I was kind of a goof-off. I was about the age of some of the folks here, and my grades were slipping. I was acting, as my mother put it, sort of casual about my future. I was doing good enough, you know, I was smart enough that I could kind of get by. But I wasn't really applying myself.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Well, things have really changed. He wasn't really applying himself. Came back from a vacation. Got a blowout in Japan and a war in Libya. He was in Rio, you know. He ran off to Rio with the family. Same person. Wasn't applying himself. Now he's applying himself. All right, here we are. Now, this is very disturbing. As you well know, I was not alarmed initially about the atomic problem, the nuclear problem in Japan. I said that the airborne radiation would not amount to very much, and I was fortunately able to read the tea leaves on that one. Okay, fine. So there was, you know, minimal, 1,000 times lower than a detectable range, really. Arrived here in the United States. But now I'm very concerned. They're now purposely pumping radioactive water into the ocean. And let me tell you something. This water is up to 500 times the legal limit for radiation. 500 times. This stuff doesn't disappear in the ocean. Eventually, what's going to happen is it's going to contaminate all of the seafood from the bottom to the top of the Pacific Ocean. This should not be allowed. I want to remind you of something else. General Electric built these nuclear reactors. In a perfect world, this wouldn't have happened. But we don't live in a perfect world. Accidents happen. They're liable. Both of the plant's nuclear reactors were designed by GE. In a sane world, GE would be held liable for all damage to Japan and to the world's ecosystem. Again, this will not happen. Because Jeff Immelt of GE has ingratiated himself with Obama to the extent that Google has ingratiated themselves with Obama. And apparently today you can buy a politician as cheaply as you could buy a Southern sheriff in 1950, okay? It doesn't matter how high up the food chain they are, you can buy them and sell them. You give them a free ride, you take them to Disneyland, and you make a contribution to their favorite charity, which is their reelection committee, and suddenly you can contaminate the entire Pacific Ocean and get away with it. Or you can park your airplane at NASA Ames and call it a research plane. All the plant's reactors were designed by GE. And Jeff Immelt offered assistance in dealing with the electricity shortage. So he's sending them gas turbines. How about cleaning up the ocean, Mr. General Electric? Why shouldn't you be liable for the ecosystem that's being damaged, permanently damaged, by the way? You know, there's no such thing as an ocean apart anymore.
Savage.
you're a business that needs to transport goods, then I'm challenging you to replace your old fleet with a clean energy fleet that's not only good for your bottom line, but good for our planet. And if you accept this challenge and you join our Clean Fleets Partnership, we're going to help you make the transition to a clean energy fleet. And Chu and LaHood will also come and wash your car or truck.
See, here's an example of an ivory tower pinhead, a microcephalic concept. In the midst of the most challenging business environment of our life, you've got this ivory tower lunatic, Obama, telling businesses that need trucks to replace their fleet with a clean energy fleet. That's a very nice idea when you have the money for it. I would say Mr. Obama should start with the U.S. postal trucks, which are the most high-carbon trucks on the road. My mail arrives at 5:30 at night. You know, very efficient, the U.S. Postal Service. At my house, it comes at 5:30. I don't blame the postal truck driver. And you could smell it coming a block away, those little trucks pumping out carbon, horribly inefficient junkers. Why don't they replace them with so-called green trucks? What are they telling businessmen to do it for? This is nonsense. This is an example of an ivory tower academic who is destroying the country with his false idealism, okay? Portland, Oregon, Jay, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, this is why I listened to your show, Mike, as I was telling your screener. You were, in my opinion, as far as I can tell, the first person to raise the red flags over the so-called rebels in Libya.
Well, I sneered at them when I called them rebels. Yep. I said, what do they think, they're James Dean and rebels without a cause? And all of a sudden they got dungarees and a BlackBerry. They're all young people. I mean, of course I saw right through this. They did it in Egypt. Right now, Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood is demanding the imposition of Sharia law in Egypt. And they want police to go around looking for modesty police in Egypt. Egypt was an advanced nation. It was a moderate Muslim nation that was destroyed by Jimmy Carter, Brzezinski, and Obama and that team of psychotic leftists. Do you know that?
I know that because I listen to your show and I've got a brain that works. And now just hearing this clip from Obama.
Oh, I'm getting, see, it's bad. The show's getting me upset now, and I really want to have a nice night with my family. Thanks for the call. I got excited. I shouldn't. Then I lay in bed and I say, what are you getting so excited about? They're not listening to you. What's 9 million people a week? You're not important. Your radio show doesn't count. No one buys your books. Oh, they're bestsellers. It's true, one after the other. And you have 9 million listeners, your third largest show in the country, but it doesn't really matter. No one listens to you. But it doesn't matter whether you listen to me. The policymakers don't listen to you. That's the most important. Well, I can take some credit for the Tea Parties in the sense that my compassionate conservative events, going back to the beginning of my radio career back in the 90s, were in essence Tea Parties. They were Tea Parties. And they're very good. You got to do more of it. Get in the face of the communist left. Use agitprop, use kiddieprop, whatever you have to use. Don't be intimidated by the vermin in the media. Get in their faces. Don't take no for an answer. I love the Tea Parties. I love that filmmaker who does with the video, The Underground. I won't let him in my house, but I love that he does it to the other guys. I'll never go to dinner or luncheon in Beverly Hills with him attending with a camera at the next table where he gets what I say on. Because actually what I say on air is quite liberal compared to what I really believe, what needs to be done. Oh, yeah. What needs to be done will never happen. Only a right-wing revolution can save America at this stage. Oh, yeah. Never happened. Not in a million years. The police state prevents it. What do you think they put in all these laws for? To make sure that there is never a revolution in America. To make sure that never could happen what they're telling to happen in the Middle East to happen here. They're very big on telling them to overthrow Mubarak and overthrow Gaddafi and overthrow the guy in Yemen. Sorry, but don't overthrow us, even though we're probably more monstrous than they are. That's all. Whoever has what? The might makes right. All right, let's move on. I can tell when I'm getting red in the face that I've gone over the edge like with anger. You know, that's a good tester. When my face gets heated as a radio host and I start to feel red-faced, it means I'm getting too excited. I got to keep it on a modest, like a Will Rogers with the lasso that I used to talk about. I can make my point without getting crazy, without going over the edge. That's the real mark of a talented guy in this business. We can make your mark and make people listen one after the other, bing, bang, boom, without going crazy and going over the edge. Then you got a show no one will listen to. It won't even be the pickle of truth at that point. It'll be the knish of truth, and nobody wants an old knish. Sacramento, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I called because I wanted to thank you for really saving my health. I was had high cholesterol, and I had taken blood tests. The doctor said, well, we'll try you on fish oil and red rice yeast. And then I was just about to come in to take my second test, and I heard from you the advice to take niacin, and you talked about how terrible Lipitor was, and I came in and the doctor said, well, your new tests don't look so good. We're going to have to put you on Lipitor. And I begged him. I said, I'd like to just try one more month. Give me one more month. And so I took the month and I did the niacin and the B6 that you advised, and my cholesterol went absolutely to normal, and I think it's just great advice that everybody...
See that? I saved another life. Now, Steve, how many milligrams of niacin are you taking?
I take 1,000 a day, non-flushing.
But do you take it in two doses or one dose?
I take it, taking it both ways, single twice.
I want you to be very careful of one thing. Time-released niacin can be very damaging to the liver. You know that or not?
Yes, yes. The doctor said that. He advised not to go above 1,000 milligrams.
Well, they ought to say the same thing about the Lipitor-style drugs as well. They do almost the same damage to the liver at certain dosages, number one. But you have any muscle fatigue from the niacin?
No, not at all.
Now, one last question, because most people don't know this. Niacin can be a miracle drug in many ways. It also is fabulous for fighting depression. It's cured schizophrenia in many cases, according to one of the great medical minds of our time, who's been completely ignored. Dr. Eric Hoffer, who's one of the great minds of our time, has been completely ignored. Hoffer cured many people of schizophrenia with high doses of niacin. However, do you ever get any kind of gout-like reaction from it? You got to know about that's a potential side effect.
No, nothing like that. But one other thing, I told my parents about it because they had high cholesterol, and it worked for them, too. 30 days, it turned their entire...
All right, well, the man who discovered that niacin will lower cholesterol and straighten out HDL-LDL levels is Dr. Eric Hoffer, who died about 2 years ago. It's interesting, I knew Dr. Hoffer. He was a giant in the field and the most humble man I ever met. Did you know he discovered this in 1949 and 1950 while he was working for the Canadian Public Health Service? He knew that he could have patented niacin as a medicine and made a fortune, okay? Picture what he could have earned if he had patented it as a drug and sold it, right? Instead, he gave it to the public domain for the betterment of mankind. That's the kind of guy he was. Can you add? Now, compare him with the type of doctors and researchers we have today. Anyway, I'm glad it worked. Look, I want people to listen to understand that there's no miracles out there, and sometimes, there's no such thing as a free lunch. If you take high doses of niacin, just to finish this up, and I don't want to do a whole medical show, you should understand that you can have gout-like reactions if you're that type of individual. It can also actually cause the same type of muscle reaction that people get from Lipitor. So you got to be aware of that. But in your case, it's non-toxic, which is great. You're very lucky. You're a very lucky man indeed. Very, very good mood elevator, incidentally, niacin. I myself don't touch it. 1-800-449-8255. I don't want to have perfectly good moods because then it'll be like living in a dreamland. I'll start to think Obama's a good president. His jokes make sense. Eric Holder's a fine attorney general. Everything is fine. The sky is blue. Everything's perfect. And I'll be like, in other words, the average American. Tampa, Florida. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. I almost don't want to ask this question now, but I was going to ask you, I'm constantly bombarded on TV. I see all the antidepressant drugs. Are there any natural herbs, teas?
Oh, yeah. Just ask Charlie Sheen. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll will work a miracle.
Well, I guess there's always that. But I was looking for things that could possibly be not.
Okay. No, I tried a cheap answer. It's funny. A natural antidepressant. You mean in vitamins? Of course. High doses of vitamin C will definitely elevate your mood, as will high doses of niacin and the other B vitamins affect your mood. Directly, unequivocally, I don't need a crackpot from any of the universities to deny it, because it's true. That's all. And the reason you don't read it is because they can't patent any of this. You cannot patent a vitamin. And consequently, vitamins are the cheapest form of medication and the best form of medication in the cases where they work. Certainly, legitimate drugs, or I'll call them mainstream medical drugs, are certainly lifesavers when they are required. But they should be used as a last resort, not a first resort. And I've written about this for 30 years. I'm a national treasure. I should be invited to the White House because I'd redo the Obama menu for the next dinner that they serve. Believe me, it wouldn't have short ribs on it with honeysuckle pie. Believe me, they wouldn't be serving ice cream for dessert. Invite Michael Savage to the White House. I'll show you what the menu would be. It wouldn't be that. Probably be calamari. Calamari appetizer, cold calamari appetizer. Oh, the special eggplant that I eat. The other night I go into the North Beach restaurant. They know already. It's the eggplant with no cheese. Then the calamari. You know what I had for dinner? You won't believe it. I'm going to go back in a minute. It was later at night already. I didn't want to eat. I said, just give me the potatoes and the chard, no butter, and skip the main course. That is, he says to me, Peter says to me, you just want the potatoes and the Swiss chard? Yeah, and I said, skip. I don't need the veal. I don't need the chicken. I don't need the fish. Because most people think that they need a protein, whatever. What do you need it for? I had a big lunch in the Indian buffet that day anyway. It was enough with the tandoori chicken coming out of my ears. So, you know, watch your protein intake. There's only so much your body needs and wants. You don't need that higher protein diet. So at night, I mean, I did the potatoes. I slept like a baby, an agitated baby. I got 2 good hours that night. No. I don't sleep very good lately. I'm worried about the world. I'm waking up with nightmares about the world. I'm hearing Obama talking in my sleep now. It's awful. I see the first lady lecturing about carrots, that if you don't plant them, you get arrested. While she's hiding a cheeseburger behind a dress. I don't know. It's just like, it's crazy imagery. It's like the Black Panthers come to the house and make sure you have a zucchini garden. And meanwhile, they're going out to their bulletproof cars to eat cheeseburgers. It's weird images I'm getting. I don't know. Just can't sleep. It's just freaky. Just freaky, this government. It's such filled with such liars. Look, they're all okay. There's nothing new under the sun. Like my mother said when she was alive, God rest her soul, when Bill Clinton got caught with Monica Lewinsky, she didn't get excited. What she said was, they all do it. I mean, who's they all do it? What, men or presidents? I didn't know what she was talking about. Because she had a very negative view of men to begin with. So to her, a president was just another man. He was a dog. In other words, she wasn't shocked. She was an old-timer about those things. They all do it. I said, what? Who's they? Men? She didn't answer me. She had a strange way. She wouldn't answer. You got to figure it out for yourself. I don't think she knew herself who she meant. They all justified Clinton's shenanigans. All the feminists, I remember when he got caught, they all said, oh, it's his shenanigans. But if a Republican looks the other way at the woman, right away it's rape, state rape, just to look at them. A Democrat actually rapes a woman in the White House, and they call it a shenanigan. All right. Any wonder I don't want to do politics? Let's have a breaker for the minute. No break. No, I didn't say go to a break. I want to look at my song sheet now. Let me just go down a list. Kansas City, no. Teenager in Love, no. Tequila by the Champs, no. Eddie, My Love, no. Bebopalula, no. Blueberry Hill, no. I Ran All the Way Home, I Played. Book of Love, I Played. Little Star, I Played. Do You Wanna Dance? No. How about Bye Bye Love by the Everly Brothers? Right now on the Savage Nation, we've got the Everly Brothers and Bye Bye Love.
Bye bye love. Bye bye happiness. Hello loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye sweet caress. Hello.
See, it's a classic American song. This song cannot be played in Saudi Arabia. It's too American. One day they're liable to pass a law that says you can't play an American song from the Southeast circa 1960 because it's too offensive to the Muslims. By the way, I have a correction for my good friend, Peter Chalka. He said it's Abraham, not Eric Hoffa. Thank you. What a dumb mistake. It's Abraham Hoffa, MD, PhD, right. Eric Hoffa was a communist. No, Eric Hoffa was a fine longshoreman, but he was not Abraham Hoffer, a medical doctor. Right, I agree with you. By the way, both Hoffers were good. I never met a Hoffer I didn't like, to do a paraphrase of somebody you don't know. There's certain names, you know, that they're like good names. Then there's rotten names. You know what I mean? Certain people have a certain name, they're never good. Like, you ever meet someone with a certain last name, you know they're no good? You go in with a bias. Like, I knew somebody with that name, like Jerry. I'm making it up. So I never met a good Jerry. That's not true. I like Jerry's. Jerry's are always good. I'll tell you a name I never trust. Who's the guy with socks, the one caught with the secrets in his underwear? What's his first name? What? Sandy. I never met a guy named Sandy that was trustworthy or worthwhile. Usually it was sneaky and no good. And particularly when higher up the food chain they name themselves like a childhood name like Sandy. Watch out, Sandy, like he's your friend. Crooked. crooked like a divining rod, only he doesn't point to water. You know what I'm saying? Albany, New York, Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I was calling about the elephant sanctuary. It's located in Hohenwald, Tennessee.
Right.
And they do not allow people to visit the elephants.
Good.
The reason being is they don't want to promote any corporate sponsorship or anything.
Oh, like GE would buy them an elephant to make up for what they just did to the seas. GE can now start sponsoring elephant protection organizations.
Exactly. My mother, that was one of the very, very few charities that she ever donated to when she passed.
What was the name of what's the name of the elephant sanctuary, Patrick? Because she looked on the level to me, that woman.
It's called the Elephant Sanctuary.
Really?
And that's
yeah.
exactly what it's called.
No, the woman was originally a circus worker with the elephant.
Correct.
She worked with the elephant. So right away, she came from a different universe than most of these professional fundraiser types who are making too much money off the charities. I have a weakness for elephants and gorillas. Let's put it to you that way. And they need help. Mountain gorillas and elephants. Anyone who kills an elephant or a mountain gorilla should be shot or quartered. Quartered in public and put on pay-per-view. And call it, instead of the torpedo of truth or the pickle of truth or the knish of truth, just call it quartering. Call it four-quartering. I'll be right back.
Just a dream. Just a dream.
Just a dream.
All our plans and all our schemes. How could I think you'd be mine?
See the story about the gangbangers who attacked the white man at the Lakers game, at the Dodgers game. Oh, it didn't make it to your local paper. Two Latinos almost killed a white man who was wearing the wrong jersey. Oh, it didn't make it to your paper. It's too embarrassing. Giants fan remains hospitalized after attack. Middle-aged guy in his 40s, beaten after the L.A. opener for no reason by two gangbangers with tattoos on their neck. But maybe they can arrest your mother if her library book is overdue. Day earlier, doctors remove a portion of the Santa Cruz resident's skull to reduce swelling. You hear this? Brian Stowe saved many lives as a Santa County, Cara County paramedic. Now the life he's fighting for is his own. Stowe is the San Francisco Giants fan who was severely beaten by Dodgers fans after an opening day game Thursday in Los Angeles, medically induced coma. Oh, boy. Look at this racism. Look at this hate crime. And there's not one word out of either the LA, out of the Los Angeles Police Department, not a word out of Eric Holder about the hate crime. Stowe, age 42, and two friends went to Dodger Stadium on Thursday night to cheer for the Giants, who lost 2-1. As Stowe and his friends were leaving the stadium, Stowe was taunted and attacked by two men wearing Dodgers gear, Los Angeles police said. They punched Stowe in the back of his head, and after he fell to the pavement, they kicked him for about 15 seconds, continuing even after Stowe lost consciousness. Meanwhile, Stowe's friends are reeling from the incident. They want to know why this happened. He's the last person to engage in violence. The man helped people all of his life. We get called to a lot of fights, and he's always the one to calm things down, get people laughing. Go tell that to the gangbangers with the tattoos on their necks. Go ahead. He treated everyone with respect. A lot of these guys are Vietnam vets, and he'd love to hear their stories. Anyway, there's the story. I doubt very much that Eric Holder will investigate this as a hate crime. But if you'd like to see the perpetrators, there are some pictures of them that you can look up on michaelsavage.com that I linked up that may help you find the individuals who did this, the men, the gentlemen. The gentlemen. Would you like to see sketches of the suspects? The gentlemen with the nice skinny mustaches and the skinny beards with the neck tattoos? Go ahead. Go call up immigration. Go call Department of Homeland Security. They'll have you arrested. Can you believe this? The press actually showed sketches of these gangbangers. Where are you, Eric Holder, now that we need you?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the big news today is that the perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks will be held accountable in a military tribunal rather than in New York City in a court where the ACLU can get them off the hook. The KSM trial, which Obama and Eric Holder wanted to be held in a civilian court, will be held in Guantanamo Bay. This is Obama's biggest defeat to date and a complete 180-degree turnaround. Did you hear Holder's voice in the news conference today when he announced that he was on the verge of tears? This man said that Congress had some nerve holding his hand, forcing his hand on military commissions. But it didn't sound like a very strong man. It sounded like a man who was not up to the job of being Attorney General of the United States. He sounds weak, in other words. Today, Obama formally announced his reelection campaign. And why do you think he chose this day to do it? Who's in charge? Though Robert Gates of the Defense Department is nominally in charge of our military, he was overridden on the decision to go into Libya. Obama is now arming and training the so-called rebels, meaning the terrorists in Libya, in spite of the fact that Gates says we should not be there at all. At the same time, the war hawk, Samantha Power, is now being considered for the position of Secretary of State. Can you believe this? Who do you think is in charge of our foreign policy today? Finally, I want to talk about Obama's Vietnam. The news today is telling us that the Libyan rebels are receiving foreign training, and we already know that the CIA has been authorized by Obama to give them assistance. The Vietnam War first started with President Kennedy sending military advisors to help the South Vietnamese. This escalated into a full-blown war. Do you fear that Libya will escalate into a full-blown war within the next year, or that the Middle East itself will be a full-blown war where U.S. troops will be on the ground throughout the Middle East? Do you think Obama's presidency will rise or fall in our involvement in Libya? These are some of the questions we're asking today on the Savage Nation. Of course, there are other topics, and you can find many of them on michaelsavage.com. Let's go to that website right now. I'm sorry. 14-year-old suicide bomber vows future attacks. "Let me go. I want to be a martyr," he said as he was being led away. "I want to send all you policemen to hell." Isn't that great that the religion teaches them that? Robert Gates, our defense secretary, is trying to tell the truth about Libya, but nobody seems to be listening to him except I am. The Japan nuke plant is going to dump radioactive water into the oceans. This is the craziest thing I ever heard. The Japanese are planning to dump thousands of tons of radioactive water into the Pacific. And what about the food chain? What about all your sushi, Libs? You're going to keep eating sushi? Also on michaelsavage.com, Egypt is becoming a radical Muslim haven, as I told you it would, thanks to George Soros and the vermin in the U.S. media. Radical Islamists are perfectly poised to take over from the Mideast rebels that the media is in love with. You hear this? The Mideast rebels. Mideast rebels, you. Gingrich backed by troubled casino king. Faked Muslim hate crime caught on camera. You got to see this story out of Australia. I'm the only one who has it in the media. I'm not even going to tell you the story. I want you to go to Michael Savage and look at it. Another Muslim, another burqa, another policeman almost loses his job with another fake hate crime from another Muslim. You don't like it? Take it to the ACLU. Muslims erupted murder spree over Quran burning. The Quran burning happened in Florida. The psychos are doing it in Afghanistan, killing and burning. And we're there to help them? Some people can't be helped. Al-Qaeda declares southern Yemeni province an Islamic Emirate. Thank you, CNN. Go to the bottom of the website. Let's go to the bottom and work our way up. Dead celebrities still listed on New York City voter rolls. That includes Walter Crankenhaus and an author who have been dead a long time, but the City Board of Elections still lists them as eligible voters. In London, children as young as 6 are being hospitalized with anorexia. No comment. All this and more on michaelsavage.com. There's other news, of course. And I can give you a little teeny synopsis, and that's all you're going to get today. The rest you're going to have to listen to The big news is that Holder, the man who should never have been Attorney General, he should have been an ambulance chaser in Detroit. Holder has the nerve to say Congress interfered with his desire to try the perpetrators of 9/11 in New York City. Can you believe this? His hands were tied by Congress. I can't believe this. This man never heard of the separation of powers that the founding fathers created, specifically for a dumbo like him. And as a final note, 858 U.S. soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan under the Obama war that never was. All this and more today on the Savage Nation. You know, when I first started in radio in 1994, I was on a local station. And I've always been very nationalistic because I'm still a Boy Scout. And I said that America is becoming much like Portugal, once a world leader, and eventually it will be of no significance whatsoever. And I said Portugal still exists, but it's of no import in the world. Well, the local newspapers laughed at me and said, Savage said America's going to be like Portugal. Of course, I was right. The question is, can we stop this sweep of history with so many in the government and in the media and in the business community so intent on cashing out for the short term without looking to the long term? Now, let me pause right here because this is a good segue to something I want to get to. When have you last seen me on television? Can anyone listening to this show tell me the last time you saw me on Fox News? Can anyone listening to this show tell me when you last read about me in a major newspaper? The question is why? I mean, there are other so-called conservative talk show hosts who are seen and heard, but not me. Why is that? Is it possible because the others are wrapped within corporations that have deep business ties in China and elsewhere, and they toe the party line? They're told, okay, you could put on a little act of being patriotic, but don't go too far, wall banger. Don't go too far, blackboard, or else we'll lose our deal in China. Is that possible? I have an article in my hand. I can't read you the whole thing. It's Why the Blackballing of Michael Savage? By Coach Dave Daubenmeer. And I had not heard of the gentleman, but you may remember him. Coach Dave Daubenmeer is the founder and president of Past the Salt Ministries and Minutemen United, very important organization. And he has a small radio show. In 1999, the coach was sued by the ACLU for praying with his teams while coaching high school in Ohio. He now spends his energy fighting for Christian principles in the public domain. So he wrote the article entitled Why the Blackballing of Michael Savage. And he says, I'm a talk radio addict. He says, I don't know how it happened to me or why, but there's something about the art that really sucks me in. He says, my favorite, if there is such a thing, is Michael Savage. Out of all the voices flying through the air, his is the one that seems to be most independent. Don't get me wrong, he says, I know that all of them are controlled to a certain degree, but Dr. Savage is the one who I think I can most trust to call him like he sees him. Well, let me correct you, Coach. I'm not controlled at all. Other than the dirty words or disparaging people we do business with or advertisers, which I would never do anyway, I am totally free to tell you as I call him like I see him, so make no mistake about it. He then goes on and he says, here's a list of America's top-rated talkers. All of them are conservative and are instrumental in shaping the thought process of millions of Americans. And he goes through the usual list, and he says, they all have TV, wait a minute, he goes down the list, and then he says, Republican good, Democrat bad, liberal bad, conservative good. He says, the Savage Nation is the fourth largest show. I believe it's the third, actually. Then he asks, can anyone tell me the last time you saw Michael Savage on any television show? And he said, radio hosts love to cross-pollinate. Wallbanger loves to share the opinions of others in radio. Laura Ingraham has a regular gig with Bill O'Reilly, often guest hosting for Bill. And then he names others who are on all of the time. And he says, why is it Dr. Savage seems to be so persona non grata in the controlled conservative media? Could it be that most of those listed above are nothing but political hacks, propaganda arms of the Republican Party, and that there are those in authority who do not appreciate how Savage so willingly undresses both sides of the political charade? And then he goes through a little bit more, but he says, why is Savage so blatantly blackballed from the conservative talk show club? According to Talkers Mag, Savage has a regular listening audience of over 8 million people a week, yet no one would recognize him if you passed him on the street. Why is it that a show this popular gets so little exposure in so-called conservative circles? Why has Michael Savage been banished to the conservative closet? Michael Savage is a real doctor, real PhD, that is. While neither Limbaugh, Hannity, nor Beck have a college degree, Dr. Savage has an earned PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in epidemiology and nutrition science. He's written 28 books, four of which have made the New York Times bestsellers list. His latest work, Trickle Up Poverty, is currently burning up the printing presses, and his program is carried by about 300 stations around the country. Tell me again, when was the last time you saw Savage on Fox News? Now, I'm going to scan some of the things he says. He has no sacred cows. He made enemies in 2006 when he accused the Catholic Church of violating the law by giving assistance to illegal immigrants. He's talking about me. His theme of borders, language, and culture has served as a rallying call for the millions who tune in nightly. Well, let's see. There's a big one here. He was first. It was Savage who first informed America and ultimately led the fight to keep President Bush from turning control of our ports over to Dubai. His brief show on fascist MSNBC in 2003 was canceled after Savage was set up and sabotaged by a caller. So why have they banned him from the conservative boys club, he asks. And now here's an important part, I believe. The Savage Nation has a deep spiritual side to it. Unlike any other talk show host in America, Dr. Savage regularly reads aloud from the Bible. Although he keeps his personal religious beliefs to himself, he uses the Holy Scriptures as a warning to America of the consequences of our continued disobedience to God's laws. He certainly is not an evangelical Christian, but his call for our allegiance to the laws of nature and of nature's God reflects a greater spiritual depth than any of America's top talkers. Limbaugh refers to talent on loan from God. Wallbanger loves to quote John 14:1, but neither appear to have real understanding of the things of the Spirit, while Blackboard is a Mormon who loves to talk about God and our need to find our own path. So he says, what's going on? Why is Savage blacklisted? Perhaps it's because Savage still continues to push back against the darlings of republicanism and often exposes that those in the government all receive their minor league training at Goldman Sachs. And then he goes on and on and on and on and on. And I'll conclude here. Savage is as conservative as they come. He often warns his listeners to beware of the government media complex. Could it be that his opposition to status quo government and his independent streak are a threat to those who are guardians of the conservative movement? Is that why Michael Savage is being blacklisted? Thanks, Dave Dabenmeyer. I really appreciate it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let's go to the people of the Savage Nation and take your calls. Ahmed in Sacramento, thank you for listening. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Go ahead, please. Make your point.
Yeah, my point is I born and raised in Egypt, and I'm here about 12 years ago. And I just want to say that the Brotherhood, if they come and the president chair, is going to be so bad for everybody. And this does not mean that all the Egyptian people are a brotherhood.
Well, I know. That's why Mubarak was your best friend, because he suppressed the Muslim Brotherhood. But if you throw him out, don't you think they're going to take a lot of power in Egypt?
They're not going to take any power, because I think the Egyptian people, you know what? I'm just going to tell you a small story right now. I called a cousin of mine in Egypt right now.
Right.
And she's a very religious person, covered from the head to toe. And
yes.
I was asking her, Bonian, about, you know, what's going on in the country and what you should think. She said, we cannot make him leave, because if he leave, the Brotherhood will be occupying the country and we're going to be so bad in this country.
Oh, so even a religiously extremist cousin doesn't want the Brotherhood?
She doesn't want the Brotherhood, and she's a religion. She's a Muslim woman.
That's very interesting. I wouldn't have understood that, truthfully. As an American outsider, I would have not understood that. I wouldn't have expected that. Let me put it to you that way. I would have thought that any woman who would want to walk around in a medieval costume like that would want the Muslim Brotherhood. Why would she be opposed to them?
My cousin, she's a cover from the head to, and she's a religious person, but she's thinking that way, that the Brotherhood can be, you know. We love people, my friend. We love life, and we are.
That's beautiful. No, I love to hear this. It's a beautiful call. But what I'm afraid of is what happened in Lebanon with Hezbollah. We called for free elections. We got Hezbollah. We called for free elections, and we got the fanatics in Gaza. You know, so wherever we call for democracy, we don't get democracy. And if Obama hasn't learned that, then either he's out of touch with reality or something worse. I don't understand it. Wherever we've asked for democracy, we haven't gotten democracy. Sometimes democracy doesn't work. Sometimes the most fanatic win. You know, in other words, democracy comes out of the barrel of a gun to many of these people. It's funny, I'm writing my novel, as you well know. I don't know if I should give out the title. I think it's already up on one of the sites already. It's a thriller loosely based upon a news reporter who's banned in Britain for something he allegedly said. And then it's a thriller where he's hunted down by MI5 and some other nefarious blah, blah, blah. It's incredible. The story's coming along great. It'll be out this July from St. Martin's Press. It's going to be, I'm telling you, a blockbuster. So I threw a line in after reading this story today as I was working on my novel, and I wrote, let's see, what was the context? It was about a Christian who was brought into a very Jewish Orthodox group, and he found himself praying with them. And I said, Jack felt like a conservative. Jack felt as different as a conservative would at Harvard. I thought it was clever. See, it shows you how I incorporate my politics even into my fiction right now, because there's actually a blurring line between fiction and nonfiction. Not only between the young people who sit on Facebook all day long and change their age and their dimensions and this and that in order to have friends, but amongst the reality of our time, it's very difficult to know which way the sands are shifting. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're open to crop circles. We're open to prayer circles. We're open to seltzer drinkers. We're open to oil and vinegar shakers.
Savage.
You've heard about the communist Obama's budget proposals, which is to break the bank even further. Now Congress is completely deadlocked because of the inexperienced communist in the White House. And that means we're on our way to a possible close down of the federal government, although I doubt it'll really happen. It's just the brinksmanship. For his opinion on what's going on in Washington is William Beach of the Heritage Foundation. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, Mike, it's just great to be on your show today. It's a pleasure and honor, and eager to talk to you about the budget.
How can the government avoid a shutdown this Friday night?
Well, that's going to be hard to do. The rules of the House are running this right now, and that means that they have to have something on the floor to vote on, like tomorrow. And then it has to lay over for the Senate to vote. I don't know if they're going to be able to get something done. If the rules are suspended, there's probably a consensus in the House to pass, a small continuing resolution. They're talking $33 billion in cuts. It's not very much. But, you know, it keeps the government from so-called shutting down. Now, here's one thing I'd like to say. Maybe we can talk about this. The government doesn't actually shut down come Friday night or Saturday morning, whenever the drop-dead date is. It slows down. There's money in the pipeline. People are going to be paid in some parts of the government, not in others. So we're not going to notice big changes right away. We've had these before. We've had a lot of them, actually. And it's amazing how very few of them are noticeable.
But we can have a partial shutdown of the government. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. A partial shutdown requires that certain really discretionary services are reduced, but you don't stop paying people their Social Security benefits. You don't stop paying the military their pay. You know, there's going to be plenty of money flowing to disaster victims and so forth and so on. So what it is really just a set of priorities that the government executes. That plan is already in place, has been for months, and so we know pretty much exactly what we're going to do. You take an agency like the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, there's a lot that goes on there that's not vital to the nation's security. And they, for example, have a plan to send many of their workers, their Washington workers certainly, home, and to stay home until the funding is back on stream. So for them, this becomes a more or less complete shutdown.
What does this all really mean for the economy?
Well, I actually think it could help in the long run because, you know, in a sense, it forces the Congress to take seriously now its its financial duties. That is, we need to have a budget that reduces the size and scope of government, slows this out-of-control spending, and takes pressures off of credit markets. This economy is trying to recover, I think in large part because we made sure that the Bush-era tax cuts were kept in place back in December. You may remember there's a big debate about letting them expire and taxes go up. Well, we didn't, and the economy kind of turned a corner at that time. But if Congress would take this opportunity to be serious about their budgets, reform some of the programs that are driving our deficits, the financial markets, the business entrepreneurs, people who are in business right now and thinking about expanding it would react very positively because the economic future would be brighter. It is not by any means going to slow this economy. I think in the short run, we won't notice any economic difference at all. And if, again, Congress takes its job seriously, well, it could make a lot of difference.
So what is Obama throwing this ridiculous amount of money out on? We know it's half of it's to his cronies and banks that put him in power.
Well, the main thing that drives the deficit are all the programs associated with health care. I mean, the increase in prices there is just two or three times the rate of inflation growth. Well, you know, if you're a person with some illness and you don't actually have to be totally responsible for paying for your own medical care, the fact that the government is there to provide medical assistance to you if you're retired or if you're low income or even if you're middle income in some cases, means that you're probably consuming a lot of medical care, maybe more than you actually need in order to get well. Medical care is driving a lot of our budgets. We think as much as 60%. In a few years, that will be accompanied by the big gorilla that we've all been seeing coming at us for decades now, and that's the retirement of the baby boom generation. We're already seeing boomers retire and Social Security and Medicare being adversely affected. So those two things, right now, health care, next year and the year after that, more so the retirement programs, we'll be making for enormous budget imbalances. I honestly think we have 3 years to bring our financial house in order here in Washington or be faced with having to actually cut programs and not just reform them, but actually take them out of commission because we can't afford them.
What is he doing to actually help the economy? Zero?
Well, I think the White House has sort of decided to take a French leave on this at this point. Politically, they're in a very good spot. The Republicans are driving the whole discussion of reducing the size and scope of government. The president has a budget proposal out there that we think kind of weakly makes a bow in that direction, but doesn't really go very far. As long as the Republicans are going to have to slow down government or come Saturday are seen as being responsible for this so-called shutdown, the White House has political reasons to stay out of the discussion. That is really too bad. Because our financial problems are so grave right now that we need to have both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue working together on this in order to solve it. I can't see how this could be otherwise. It's interesting. Presidential politics has started now. So we have a couple of months before it gets really hot and heavy. And if we don't take care of the budget in those few months, or at least make a step in the right direction, as Paul Ryan is going to do when he reveals his budget, then, it's going to be awfully hard to do it during a presidential election year.
So there are some Dems who actually want to shut down in order to make the Republicans look bad, very, very, very mature.
Well, they shouldn't do so publicly because they may get stuck with it, but there are some political pluses for them. You remember that in 1995, when the federal government had a partial shutdown, the reason for that, which people forget, was Bill Clinton's refusal to sign a budget bill. He turned the tables 180 degrees, and suddenly it became the Republicans' fault for bringing the government to a partial shutdown. So there's a sort of a folklore on the Democrat Party that they can win these budget shutdown debates or issues, and I suspect many of them believe that that's the case. The wiser heads understand the great risk, political risk, and I think, in a sense, moral risk that tends to ignoring their duties as fiduciaries of our budget. They've got to take seriously this, too, as well, because in the long run, it's a Republican and Democrat problem, and anybody who stands on the sidelines could be held accountable come Election Day.
The Dems want to raise the debt limit in order to completely make the currency useless. What if Congress refuses?
Well, then we can't borrow anymore. We have to live within our current revenues. And that does, in fact, force over time, because there's, again, backlog of money in the budget, in the pipeline, and there are things that the Secretary of Treasury can do to delay payments to contractors and to people living outside the United States. In the long run, though, we have to reform the budget. We have to bring down our spending. If we cannot raise the debt ceiling to borrow more money. If we do raise the debt ceiling, I understand from talking to members of Congress on the Republican side that they'll be asking for some very serious reforms to the drivers of this budget imbalance and elsewhere.
But what kind of threats are the Dems using if they don't get their way?
Well, and there won't be any Armageddon again. There's money in the pipeline that can be used by the Secretary of Treasury to pay bills. There are ways to delay the payment of bills. After all, we're talking about a government owing money, and government can, in fact, just simply not pay its bills for a time. That's the power of a sovereign. So it isn't going to be the end of everything if we don't raise the debt ceiling. We've also been there as a republic in the last 30, 40 years. We have been at times when the debt ceiling could not be raised enough or raised at all. And the Secretary of Treasury has gone through this process of paying some bills and not others, using money in the pipeline to keep the government going. There's a process in the Treasury for doing just that.
William Beach, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
You know, thanks. Thank you, Michael. Just ask me back anytime.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
The world's burning. Nation states are now weaker than global capitalists like George Soros. Obama may be the one in front of the cameras, but men such as Jeffrey Immelt of GE are frankly, in my opinion, the ones who call the shots. 100 years ago, the great powers, Britain, France, and Germany. Well, 100 years ago, the great powers were Britain, France, Germany, and the United States. Okay, let's go back. Today, well, wait, the great powers 100 years ago were Britain, France, Germany, the U.S., Russia, you'd say. They had a pretty powerful navy till the Japanese sank them. But anyway, today the real powers are Goldman Sachs, Exxon, and Google. And, of course, some unknown hedge funds. The global capitalists who control these companies have far greater power than the leader of any state, and they operate outside the law of any nation. They're unelected. So when you're watching the uprisings in the Middle East, you should know that it has less to do with which dictator did what or how Russia has responded at the UN than what certain individuals are doing to twist events in favor of profit for themselves. As the Middle East is burning, the globalists are earning. That's the end of the news for the day. The rest you can read for yourself. Now, we stumbled on a topic, which is who is more powerful and influence over conservative thought, Drudge or Limbaugh or anyone else. I also asked you a leading question, which I'd like to repeat, which is how do you tell if somebody's really meaning what they say, really means what they say, or they're just faking it for the money? What do you use as an S detector, whether you're a liberal or a conservative? Liberals like to say they really know if someone's telling the truth. That since they lie to everybody, they pretty much can tell when someone's lying, they think. I'm in the same sphere as Rush Limbaugh, but I'm very different than him. You see what I'm saying? The subtleties? I'm trying to get a couple of points across. By the way, here's a movie that you will not be seeing in the near future. I understand it's not going to be made. It's Martin Scorsese directing Lady Gaga in The Life Story of Arianna Huffington. The working title is From Plato to Play-Doh. From Plato to Play-Doh. 1-800-449-8255. Mike in Pittsburgh, PA. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to say, in terms of knowing whether someone's real or not, I think it's more of, well, there's two things, whether someone's real or whether someone's really good. Like, a real person seems to come off in terms of, like, they don't compromise what they believe in. But a crazy person can be the same way, or even a real evil person. They don't compromise on those things, but they also don't go to outside influences and to the pressure that everyone puts upon them to be a certain person or act a certain way.
Right, right. You're making a very good point. So therefore, in the midst of all of this, how do you judge as a listener and a reader of internet and other media, radio, TV, how do you judge who's telling the truth?
lots and lots of listening repetitively. I've listened to you a lot. I listen to Jerry Doyle. I've listened to, there's a few that I think really are right on the mark. But over time, I assess whether these people are flip-flopping in the wind or just, you know, going with the political breezes or if they're just actually speaking what they feel. And there's very, very few in this world anymore. And Michael Savage, you are one of the few. And
well,
I
let me say, all I can say to you is this. I don't know the other people, what they really think. I think most of the people in the top do believe what they say, truthfully, on the right, that I've met or that I've heard about. I can't speak for anyone on the left because I don't really know anybody in the media on the left. I don't know what they believe. I know that many people in Hollywood who I've come to meet, who are very high up, all tell me on the side that although they're diehard Democrats, they believe in a lot of what I say. They agree with a lot of what I say. They can't say it, though, because of political reasons in the world in which they run. You've got to understand that many people who define themselves as moderate Democrats are somewhat conservative, but they can't show it. You know what I'm saying? Because their powers are controlled to a great extent. Their social world would come to an end if they ever expressed certain opinions, because the left rules their world like fascism. There's almost no tolerance for any diversion of thought in groupthink. And some of these people are extremely powerful, by the way. And yet even they cannot express themselves outside of their, you know, close circles, Mike.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, I thank you for being such a long-term listener. You know, I'm going to tell you something about radio. Radio, of all the mediums, is, I would think, the easiest to tell if someone's BSing you. Because all we got is our voice. We have no other special effects. But that's neither here nor there. All I got is my voice, and so all you've got is your ears. You got nothing else. Your ears, and your thinking. So you say, is this guy on the level? So I want to. I guess I'm not doing this for a reason. There's no reason other than one of the tactics of the radical left, as funded by George Soros through the fake Stalinist group Media Matters, is to say that everyone on the right is making it up, that they're faking it, they don't believe a word they say. Denigrate those on the right, say they don't really mean it. So you've got to be very careful what you read and what you listen to, you know? So Israel in New York, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, there's only two ways to identify people. It's through their voice, their tone of voice, and if you have the pleasure of seeing them, is their eyes, because the eyes are the gateway to the soul and never lie.
Okay, but wait. Now, in radio, you can't see my eyes. All you can hear is my voice, correct?
That's correct. So it's a tone of voice. People who are making things up or reading off of teleprompters, usually their voices go up and down. They're not as even keel as a person who's telling the truth.
Now, Israel, were you in the Mossad?
No.
Did you work for the DEA undercover in Belarus? I mean, how do you come to this conclusion?
I've read over the years books and books on behaviorisms, mannerisms, and it's just basic 101 stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you should say it. Again, going back to one of my favorite villains, Larry David. I was watching an HBO piece the other night where all of the actors in that series, you know who I'm talking about, right? Or not?
Sure.
Okay. So each actor had to say which their favorite piece was. And you could see when they're talking about it, they get enthusiastic. And then at the end, when they say how great Larry is, their eyes shift. Their eyes jump left to right or right to left, like they have to say it, and you could see that they're lying. I couldn't believe it. Each and every one of them, when they were extolling their show and how great it was, at the end their eyes darted to the left or to the right. I said, these people are just outright lying.
And then I said,
you're shocked an actor is lying? That's something new? They're actors. What do you expect them to say when the guy pays their bill?
This is why people in general, you should know, who shouldn't be trusted. That's why a lot of them always wear sunglasses in the same way security people wear sunglasses, not to give up what they're thinking in their mind.
Okay, now this is an important point. That's not 100% true. This is a cultural thing, Israel. There are cultures that do not look you in the eye and they're not lying. It's just a very uncomfortable thing for people from certain cultures. I believe it's an Asian thing, by the way, not to look you in the eye. And it doesn't mean they're lying. It's considered an invasion of their soul. You know, the American people are very into staring you in the eye while you're talking. I find it very uncomfortable. If I'm in a conversation, why do I have to have a staring contest with somebody when my mind is trying to think? It's two different things. I've seen men, they try to stare you in the eye like, are you really telling the truth? Tell me. It's like, can we just have a conversation? I'm thinking. While I'm thinking, I can't think about staring into your irises right now. I don't know if it's 100% true. I personally don't always stare in someone's eye. When I do so, it's because I know that they're thinking about how my eyes are moving, so I do it on purpose to control them. But it's not how I really like to operate because my mind is moving at a very rapid speed and I don't have the time to think about looking them in the eye. Does that mean I'm lying to them?
No, but depending which way one's eyes turn when you're talking to them, it also gives away other clues of what their intents are. So if a person looks up, their eyes, they're fetching for answers.
Yeah, that's true. How about if their eyes dart to the left? They're lying, aren't they?
There's many theories.
Well, I'm going to tell you another theory. How about liars on television? Have you watched their tongue or their mouth when they lie? I can see it 100 times in one guy, Softball, probably the biggest fraud in television, who was talentless, a talentless hack with the straw hair, Chris Matthews of MSNBC. This guy is hysterical. You talk about hysterical blindness, this guy has hysterical liarness. The man lies constantly. Everything he says is what he lacks in talent, he makes up for with malice. Does that work for you?
It works. The problem is once they become a pathological liar, sometimes they're able to throw people off and not give out the cues that normally one would.
Bingo. I've seen that.
Savage.